And right now it is time for our update on the Sharon Hospital. We bring in Dr. Mark Herko and we get an update on what's going on in the hospital, their progression with the transformation of what they're doing at the hospital and what they're dealing with the state and many other things, because having a hospital and being at a hospital is like peeling an onion. There's just so many different layers and layers and layers. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Boy, that's a very appropriate, Marshall. Great analogy there.
Well, I've always thought about that, because when you when I found out years ago, the hospitals have to put their budgets together, and of course, you're not really sure about what the income's going to be. You're not going to be sure what state regulations are going to be. You're not sure what reimbursements are going to be. It really is. There's so many different levels to the things that you have to put together when you put your yearly budget together ahead of time. That really. The budget is, to me, it looks like in most hospitals, the budget is just a guess.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It is your best guess based upon traditional historical norms. And what's been difficult over these last 2 years is that we've had historical issues, but they haven't been normal with COVID. And so it really, we've had to adjust things, and literally we go probably 10 months ahead of when the fiscal year starts, where we start looking at the budget, just to be prepared and try to think of all the contingencies. So it's difficult.
Now, where do you stand? Has like the rest of the country, has COVID calmed down here in New Vance Health, not only in Sharon Hospital, but the other hospitals that you have?
Oh, it has. We're down to, at times, one or two patients only that are COVID positive, and probably daily somebody comes in to be tested or something like that, but it's nothing like where we had people lined out the door or employees. You know, at one point, we were 35, almost 40% of our employees were out with COVID. So we're not seeing that at this point. So we're you know, trying to take a collective breath and then move forward with healthcare again.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Now that you've got that behind you, and you've got, well, another big thing in front of you, and that is you're dealing with the state for the many different things that you're planning on doing here. Where does this all stand at the hospital?
Sure. So we are currently, for labor and delivery, looking at the certificate of need that we had filed in early January, and we're currently in that process where they send us banks of questions, and then we answer that based upon the application that we had submitted. So we're currently in that question and answer phase. And then we hope that once that portion is completed, sometimes there's one or two rounds of that, then they move forward with a public hearing. So we'll see how that goes. Regarding our transformation of our inpatient footprint, we were just notified about 2 weeks ago that instead of moving forward with our plan, they will also require a certificate of need as we move our ICU to a progressive care type unit in another location within the hospital. And that's not much of a surprise, in that with all the issues going on with other hospitals in the state and with the COVID crisis, I think this, you know, everybody at OHS just wants to be careful and make sure, you know, we leave no stone unturned as we move forward with this process.
Now, you have teamed, you're one of the first people in this area to team with Community Health and Wellness to bring in Betty. And Betty, by the way, we just did an interview last week, is a program where people can get basic medical services there, whether they have insurance or not. Other towns are added it on. Cornwall, I think Sharon has it, of course, with you, and there's other teams going to do that. When actually this community wellness gets operating and gets their facility in Canaan, that should be a big boon and a big help in this area for people.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, this area has been underserved with primary care, and that's one of the Marshall tenets of our transformation program, is to rebuild primary care throughout the region. And it's going to be different in different areas based upon the availability of primary care physicians and how healthcare has changed. And that's where Betty can come in, having the mobile clinic, which could be possibly sited at various locations within our catchment area. And at the same time, we're also looking at working with the FQHC and setting up a more permanent location within our facility itself. So, I mean, this is a great opportunity for the area, and it actually acts as a stopgap as we're trying to get more permanent primary care presence in the area. But at the same time, it actually will fill a need because it has its niche and its purpose. So it really it's twofold there. Really appreciative of the Torrington FQHC for helping us out.
A couple of emails and a text came in. People, when you talk about the transformation of the emergency department, people are worried that there won't be emergency services. So I'd like you to adjust that. They think that maybe people will come in, and if they need really tough emergency services, they'll be transferred out to one of the other hospitals. So I thought I'd just broach that with you so you can explain exactly what the transfer that you're talking about from the ER as it is now to what it will be.
Sure. At no point did we ever say that the emergency room would ever change. So the emergency services that we offer today and that we offered yesterday will be the same services that we offer tomorrow. The emergency room will remain 24/7. We will have all comers come to the emergency room like they do today, and we will see the patients, evaluate and triage the patients based upon the ability that we can care for them, just like we do today, and keep them here if we can care for them, or transfer them out like we do today. We will not be changing one bit of what we're doing. And that's probably the thing that we're really, it's an uphill battle, because a lot of people are having a misconception as to what the transformation plan is. We never stated we would change the emergency services or emergency room. And because our hospital has been so good over these 5 years that either HealthQuest or New Vance Health has been, since we purchased the facility, we really have been positive in integrating the tertiary care network of the system with our facility itself. So on average, we see close to 10,000 people per year at our emergency room, and we only transfer out at any moment 300 or 400 people as we go throughout the entire year. So otherwise, everyone stays here, and that's the part that I think I want to make sure that we emphasize that we haven't been sending that many people out or changing our care or management. So we will continue that forward.
All right, in the final 2 or 3 minutes here, Dr. Herko, anything else that you want to get across to the public about what's going on at the hospital?
Sure. One thing about our transformation plan, finally the government did something which hasn't been done in a long time. Actually, they actually came up with a budget. And part of that budget was an earmark for $400,000 that Representative Johanna Hayes, along with Sharon Connect and a lot of members at large in our community, really worked forward for digital enhancements of our facility. And this was actually part of that omnibus bill. So we will be receiving $400,000 from the government to help with part of our digital enhancements, which would be adding repeaters for Wi-Fi and also increasing the availability of electronic communication throughout the facility itself. So we're really encouraged and happy about that. And also, you know, we're just going to keep having community roundtables and various meetings with elected officials. We had a very successful meeting with the first selectman last week, going over our plans here. We're making sure that we're keeping abreast of what's going on over in the New York side of our catchment area, and really letting everyone know that we will keep communicating and moving forward with our transformation plan as it fully develops.
And that, as I think the key term you put there is slowly develops, because on two counts, you have states and you're going to have public hearings on that. So people will have their chance to even get a better look at this and ask better questions as it moves on.
Sure, and that's the opportunity of having public hearings. And that's why everything about the CON or Certificate of Need process is fully transparent. You can go on the state website for the Office of healthcare strategy, and they will have a docket number for our transformation plan and our application for the certificate of needs, and then it goes over everything that's been submitted so far, both from ourselves, the system, and even from the community people that have had concerns about that. So So this is the give and take that is appropriate within an open government. So I'm very encouraged by the process so far.
All right. Well, keep us updated. Of course, we're going to have you on with frequent updates on what's going on at the hospital, Dr. Herko. And thanks for joining us again this morning. And I'm sorry, we had some personnel switches here. Dr. Herko was meant to be on last week, and some personnel changes here, which we've straightened out. So I'm sorry about missing last week, but we're back on schedule.
No worries. If you know, one thing I've learned in healthcare and all of this is you have to be flexible. So, hey, I appreciate you giving us the time this morning, and we'll keep in touch as we move forward here.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The CEO for the Sharon Hospital, Dr. Mark Herko, this morning on The Breakfast Club.